the mission we've been given of Matthew 28 that we all are familiar with, and then last week just looking at how simple the mission really is that's been given to us. I want to move even further away from this idea of all the stuff we need to do and what we're just to be. And so if I was going to title today's message, since if we're going to put it online, the message is Kingdom XYZs. So I'm taking a little liberty, but so Kingdom XYZs, X is ex officio, Y is yeast, and Z is zealot. So, you know, I think for us to become all that God has called us to be, there's one step. And after that one step, life's a zipline ride. So, and it's just a matter of being. It's so simple, it's so easy, it's so within our grasp, within our reach, that so many voices have complicated the issue and tried to complicate the issue, and they've made it all theological and hoity-toity and ethereal or whatever you want to call it. And for the most of us, it's real easy for us to feel discouraged, and it's like, man, this will never happen. Who am I to think that this is ever going to be something I can pull off? And yet, what we've been given, you know, all the things we sang this morning just remind me of, you know, this fixed point. You know, the King of Hope, the Lord in me, the Prince of Peace, Lamb of God. And I don't know if you remember the story about the ship's captain at night who was going along, and he saw another ship coming, and he seemed to be on the same path, and he signaled ahead for the ship to change course, and the other ship returned back and said, "No, you change course." And so the captain said, you know, we are, you know, whatever kind of ship it was, and so I'm ordering you to change course, and, you know, or else there will be serious consequences." And the other one issued back and said, "I'm a lighthouse, sir, change course." And so, you know, the fixed point for us, with all the foolishness that's going on in the world and all the hatred and all the craziness that's going on politically and on, the fixed point for us is the King of Hope. And we come to a kingdom that is unshakable. So what we are invited into is something that is never going to change.
Yes.
And it's always going to be powerful and will never fade over time. And so it gives us courage, instead of looking at all the changeable stuff around us, like world news and all the rest of the sources of information, what's going on in the world, and looking and just choosing to focus first on this King of Hope that never changes. So being XYZs, the first one is ex officio. I know it starts with an E, but you know, close enough. Ex officio means being a member by virtue of a position in a larger, connected, or related body. So if you hold a position sometimes in an organization, sometimes you are ex officio, you're automatically, by virtue of that position, a member of that other committee. And so for us, being in Christ means being in or of the kingdom. We're a part of it. We've been invited into this kingdom. And so if you want to turn to John 17, this is Jesus, what we call the high priestly prayer, where Jesus is praying to the Father. And these are amazing, amazing words that he is saying about us. So in John 17, start from verse 6. Jesus says, "I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. And then verses 20 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me. So here's the King of the universe, and he's praying this to his Father about us, that we would be included, that we would be one, and that we would be so united, so in unity, that the whole world would be obliged to recognize the love the Father had for Jesus and the love he has for us. And so I just kind of went down the list, you know, kind of like what Keith did this morning with the words in that verse,
yes,
that we sang. You know, what is Jesus saying we've been given in these verses we just read? We've been given revelation. We've been given the gift of obedience. How many of us know that obedience is a gift, not something we generate in ourselves? At least I don't generate it in me. It's a gift when it happens. It's a gift of knowledge, a gift of words of the Father. You know, so many of us yearn for the loving and supportive words of a Father, and sometimes don't have them. Jesus has given us the words of his Heavenly Father, his own Holy Father. We've been given Jesus' intercessory prayers on our behalf. We've been given the Father's protection under the power of his own name. And we've been ensconced in the community of the Trinity. Jesus has invited us in, just like he is one with the Father, he's made us one with him. Mm-hmm. So there's no separation now. And so even he's given us his glory. That's the weirdest thing. You know, Jesus gave us his glory. He shared his glory with us. And, you know, sometimes when I'm looking in the mirror in the morning, if the word glory comes to my mind, if I'm alert enough, it just strikes me as so weird that Jesus would dare to share his glory with me and with all of us. So here we are, these ex officio members. We've been invited into the community, the fellowship of the Trinity, part of God's kingdom, this everlasting, unshakable kingdom. You know, and you talk about, you know, the word, you know, this phrase they use a lot these days, the weakest link. You know, we've got to be the weakest link in this thing. You know, we're frail, we get messed up, we get sidetracked, we get discouraged, and, you know, sometimes we think we haven't learned anything, and, you know, as I mentioned several times, you know, one pastor says, I wake up every morning a pagan, and I have to find myself in Christ afresh. And, you know, maybe some of us have that feeling as well, especially Monday mornings for some. But so we're ex officio. That's the first thing. We are that. We don't have to drum it up. We don't have to create it. It's been created. Jesus did it. When he rescued us, he did this. This was his solidifying prayer with the Father before he left. He wanted to make sure that everything was set in place and that everything that he believed was going to get carried out. And so he was earnestly praying for the Father on our behalf, which is no small thing. The why, the yeast, that fermenting agent, inactive until it's connected to an agent that produces a reaction. I don't necessarily practice what I preach. I tried it this morning, putting some warm water and sugar on a packet of yeast. And, well, the results were a little sad. Nothing like when my mother used to do it. She would wake up the yeast with warm water, and within 15 minutes, the bowl would be rounded up with this yeast that had come up. So the yeast I was using maybe just not quite as strong. But anyway, I was going to reproduce it this morning, and I said, no, that's a failed experiment. So anyway, I don't really know what I did wrong. It seems like I followed the instructions, but I'm one of the weakest links. So, you know, going back to, it's wonderful to be in Christ and part of the kingdom, and so I depend on the strength of the kingdom. But so this fermenting agent, the yeast, so often in Scripture, yeast is mentioned, the yeast of the scribes and Pharisees, right. And that's a really negative example. Yeah. But here in Luke chapter 13, you know, this little example that Jesus gave, and, you know, we all know it, but it isn't, so it's not just exclusively bad news. In Luke 13, 20 and 21, Jesus says, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to?" He said, it's like yeast that a woman took and mixed in a large amount of dough until it worked all through the dough. So the kingdom is this unseen kind of, you know, we talked about it before, it's kind of like the ninja approach. It's all quiet, it's all hidden, you don't see it, it's silent. It just kind of slips in totally unnoticed until the moment of attack. And so the kingdom comes in. When Jesus came, it was so subtle that Jesus came as a light into the world. And what does John 1 say? And the world didn't accept it. The world refused to see the light of the kingdom. Now, if God wanted Jesus to come as an invading army, he would not have come in that kind of a way where people had the option of ignoring the word.
Right.
But they didn't receive it. You know, one message I heard was, you know, the world was like roaches. When you turn the light on, they scatter for the holes and they disappear. And, you know, but if he wanted to be that invading army, he wouldn't have allowed that. He would have come in with such power and such force that you can't ignore it because it's overtaking you. And but Jesus came kind of on the sly in a way that certainly for the Jews, it was so shocking that they couldn't even believe that God would do anything like that. It was so beneath him. It was so mundane or so almost profane for them that they thought it was a scandal to even think that God would do something like that. But here's Jesus talking about the kingdom is like yeast. It gets inserted and nothing seems to happen, kind of like my experiment this morning. And then when it comes right, it builds up. And I mean, I grew up at least twice a week watching my mother make bread. And I've mentioned before, but I mean, it'd be this lump of dough in the bottom of a big bowl. And, you know, and she'd put it in a warm place and cover it with a cloth. And within, I don't know, 45 minutes or so, that little lump of dough had risen to fill that whole bowl and it was rounded up like this. And then she would take it out and she called it pounding the daylights out of it. She would pound it all back down and let it rise again and made it lighter and fluffier and the bread that we all loved eating. So yeast, not just in principle, in reality, it actually works. It works in bread, it works in fermenting in beer, etc. And so even though that failed experiment was there, it doesn't take away the fact that yeast actually does work and it has a rising agent in it. So not just ex officio, we are kingdom, we're part of the kingdom, we've been called into it, we've been made citizens of the kingdom, and in all our weakness and all our failure and all our whatever, you know, we still are those who represent the kingdom.
Yeah.
And this yeast of the kingdom is inside and it's doing its work in us. We may not be strong, we may not feel like, you know, we're, you know, the other verse that makes us all cross our eyes is, you know, we've been made more than conquerors. And most of us go, yeah, right. And I was like, I feel like more than a conqueror. I feel like more than conquered some days. But spiritually, what Jesus is saying, what Paul is saying in that is our position of being in Christ with all this power makes us, that power in us is more powerful, you know, and I don't know if you read the email yesterday, but, you know, the power of Mount St. Helens and the eruption. And, you know, just watching that documentary this week was just amazing. Didn't really pay much attention to it when it happened 38 years ago, but it was really a pretty amazing thing. And so the last thing for us, that here's this kingdom that is working in us, this yeast that's in us, and the Z is a zealot. Zealot is often referred to as a fanatical partisan, but fanatical has a bad connotation. So I think it's one, living out loud with zeal for a cause. And so we live out loud. We have an opportunity to live out loud, but our zeal, the way the zeal is expressed in some of us is if we are extroverted, you know, we're going to let everybody know, we're going to be shouting it, and we're going to be displaying it all over the place in a very pronounced, not ignorable kind of way. But if we're more introverted, we're going to be expressing it in just a calm constancy that is always there. Has anyone ever been burned by picking up an ember they thought was cold? It's amazing how much heat is inside that black lump, and it may not be glowing red. But if you pick it up, you'll find out, you know what? There's a lot more heat in that thing than you expect. And if you blow on it, it doesn't take much to make it glow red again. And so I think that's kind of the zeal that we have. And so I wanted to look at John chapter 2. This, again, another familiar passage. But when Jesus is talking, John chapter 2, verses 12 through 17, this is Jesus clearing the temple. You'll remember that story. So when he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples, there they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at table exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all of them out of the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" And it says, John says, his disciples remembered that it's written, "Zeal for your house has consumed me." Mm-hmm. And so that's Psalm 69. So if we want to just turn over to Psalm 69 and see the context of that psalm. Psalm 69, 6 through 12 also. Psalm 69, verse 6. "May those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me, O Lord, the Lord Almighty. May those who seek you not be put to shame because of me, O God of Israel. For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. I'm a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my own mother's sons. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards." So, you know, this is a psalm of David, but, you know, he's just talking about how unacceptable it was to society around him that he would have zeal for his father's house. And, you know, I think probably one thing that maybe prevents us a little bit from expressing our zeal for our father's house is that very thing in our day too. It would not be well accepted. It would be scorned. It would, you know, people would have all kinds of things to say. "Oh, you go to church? Really? Man, what a waste of time. You could sleep in," and all that stuff. So but this kingdom that is kind of roiling inside of us and building and growing like yeast inside of us desires an expression, and the more we fix our attention on it and look at that, I think the more we burn, we glow like those embers, and depending on our personality type, we will show it super outward, so we announce it from the housetops, or just our quiet constancy. We just keep living it, and we keep believing, and we don't allow ourselves to be distracted. God has created all the personality types that are out there that I was talking to you about last week. And so he uses all of us where he's given us with our set of circumstances, our backgrounds, our failures, whatever our family system was. He always is the one calling us forward, calling us up and out. And so some of you say, well, we're not really zealots, but, you know, I was just thinking, because today is what it is, maybe some of us are going to be expressing a little bit of zeal this evening for a certain cause. And maybe we'll be more exuberant in that tonight.
Preaching the Bible.
I'll leave you all to it. And you can just kind of let me know how it goes. But this is, I think what's really exciting with this is all of this, XYZ, the ex officio, the yeast, the zealot, isn't something we have to create in ourselves and we have to produce it out of nothing. Like so often, you know, we feel like we've got to evangelize. I've got to this. Right. I've got all these, you know, as Elmer Mumford calls them, these ghastly moral obligations. If you're a Christian, you should pray more. You should evangelize more. You should always be talking about Jesus to your neighbors and to your coworkers and, you know, the clerk at Walmart or wherever. And, you know, and for some, that's so exciting and that possibility they just can't help themselves. They're just always doing that. And for others, you know, we just rather die now and get it over with rather than have to live in that kind of a way. So we can be authentic and we can be true to our personality that God's put in us with all our strengths, with all our weaknesses. And we can be just recognize that we've been called into this kingdom that has a power that we have attached ourselves to. And I want to pass these out. These are little yeast packets, and they have a little magnet on the back, and you can stick them on your refrigerator to remind you that, and just you can just forget my failed example this morning because it won't fail for you if you try it. But yeast, God has put that yeast of the kingdom in us, and it's growing. Look, 2,000 years ago, 12 men had a deposit of kingdom yeast.
Yeah.
And they weren't much better than a bunch of bumbling idiots, really. I mean, these guys didn't have any background. They weren't blue bloods. They weren't aristocracy by any stretch. And Jesus entrusted this kingdom work to these 12 guys. So the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ, the fact that we're sitting in this living room today with an identity and with a drawing to this man called Jesus, yeah, says those guys weren't a total failure. I mean, and there's been enough opposition over the last 2,000 years that if this were just a man-made thing, the church would have disappeared years ago, as many, many have declared over the years, this is the end, etc. But here we are, and now it's, you know, the Church of Jesus is worldwide, and with many variations and many weird things going on as well. But the name of Jesus is recognized worldwide now. Accepted, not necessarily, but certainly recognized. So if you want to just pass and take one of these and pass the yeast along as we close up this morning, because also I think the zeal can do the yeast can bring out the zeal in us, and we can do this XYZ for the kingdom in a natural kind of way. We don't have to pretend, we don't have to be holier than thou. Most of us gag at the thought of being holier than thou, and if not all of us, and we've been holier than thou'd, and if we have, that even makes us gag all the more. So we don't want that. We can just be natural people, and I think that's what God wants. And you know, this phrase we've used, ordinary people, extraordinary message. It's the message that's extraordinary. It's the kingdom that's extraordinary. So let's consider this not something we have to create out of us that is not natural, but allow God to enlarge that invitation into his kingdom, to accept this yeast that's in us, that's stirring in us, and to become zealous for the kingdom. And so as you're yelling and screaming yourselves crazy this evening in front of a screen, you know, think of the zeal that the Father has as well. All right, let's pray together. Yeah. So, Father, it's so exciting that we look back at these 12 guys that you started with, and you chose them. You knew it wouldn't be easy for them, and so you prayed for them, and you prayed for us, because we're included in that. We are ex officio in the disciples thing. You've called us, and you've put the yeast of the kingdom, this imperceptible thing in us, and it grows in us. And and we lose our way, and we make mistakes, and we fail, and we just some days flat out don't even feel like it, and yet this kingdom is in us,
yeah.
And we're a part, and you've called us together as a family, and you've become powerful in us, and we get discouraged, and some days we just wonder what it's all about, and some days even gathering together as a body on Sunday morning is just the hardest thing we ever do. And yet, in you we find strength. And there's something in us. There's a knowing in us that there is yeast in there. And there's something that stirs. And there's something that keeps us moving forward, even when we're so discouraged. And even when we feel like we can't go another step or another day. And so would you allow that zeal, like the heat in those embers to rise up in us and express themselves naturally out of us. Father, we don't all want to be Jeff. We don't all want to be Joan. We don't all want to be John. But we want to be who you've called us to be. And we want to do your kingdom work as you've called us to do it. So, Father, we bless you this morning that this first step has already been taken care of. And so, even for those of us scared of heights, you know, this it's as easy now as this zip line ride. We just get geared up, and it just takes care of itself. The ride just happens. So, could we enjoy the ride? Could we enjoy what you've called us to do? Where you've called us to do it today? And could we know that you are more than enough? You're the King of Hope. You're the Lord of Love. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the Lamb of God. So that's probably enough for us.
Yeah.
So thanks for this day. Thank you for your love for us. Thanks for drawing us together week after week. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. You guys please be praying for a client of mine. She's due